Shut up and sit down.
We had the Rona, Tommy's tragic death, and some orange malignant shit funnel got fired from his own show after just one long drawn-out episode. Now 2020 is behind us, and the Pints are back with a brand new season. You won't learn anything new, but they will definitely make you better at sex. Welcome to Pints of the Round Table. And now, here's Wonderwall.
Hello everyone, welcome to Pints of the Round Table. I am Monty Morgan, and I'm here with everybody but me.
Hey, it's Tara here.
And I'm Mel Damon.
And I'm Daddy Sparks, sometimes.
Sometimes.
Welcome.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
You guys have a good week.
No.
No. Definitely didn't happen. I don't remember most of my week. Not for all for lack of trying. Like, I'm not putting in the brain power to try to remember my week. I worked and I got drunk. And I slept and I had
were
sex.
Were you trying to forget or just not?
No.
Okay. So it's just in that gray area where nothing happened. So.
Yeah.
Right.
Like there was a lot of drinking.
Don't care enough to try to remember. Nothing happened to make you remember. That's good.
My cat still hasn't had kittens and I'm mad about it.
Yeah. What's up with them?
I want to see how many kittens and what they look like. And that's all I need in my life right now. It's not happening.
Are you the same kind of me? Like, I want to see the cats, and I want to see how many different cats there are, and then I want to look around the neighborhood, like, as I'm around for the dad. Is that, are you the dad?
No, because we already saw two cats that she was actively being fucked by. One was orange, and one was black and white. So we already know at least two of the dads. Right?
And cats can have the multiple dad litters.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Which I feel is a superior evolutionary trait as far as
humans
propagation
can do it
of the species, you know?
Humans can do it too.
It's just rare. Like
ovulating.
Rare.
Yeah. When you have sex with two guys,
it's super
two
rare.
Days apart even, it can happen. You can get twins with two different daddies.
But you can, yeah.
Yikes.
That would be, could you imagine?
Could you imagine having sex with twins 2 days apart and then they're both daddy of different kids inside of you, but you can never know whose is whose or what is what because technology isn't quite there yet.
Identical twins. And they would look the same.
Well, they wouldn't. Yeah. Well, would they look the your same? Twins wouldn't be able to be identical because they're by two different fathers. But
no, I mean the twins, exactly if the twins, the same. If the twins were identical.
With, yeah. That you right. Have sex with.
Well, then the genetics are, I mean, you're talking so close,
yeah.
Right? Like so close. Like it's the biological equivalent of a clone. Like that's, you know, it might have come out a little different in the copy.
To get somebody pregnant.
Oh man. this is one of the downfalls of having like a democracy first civilization where you're like, you should just like be able to make twins do this. Like, no,
yeah,
you're a twin. Listen, we need science.
It's for science.
Right.
You have to impregnate multiple girls because we have to do this until both of you get one girl pregnant at the same time.
What if we get them? What if we make them do it to twin girls? That's not going to affect anything.
Oh. It was a thought.
Yeah.
I think my week just got better.
Well, now I'm thinking about it, and for some reason,
thinking about impregnating twins.
Are redhead. I don't know why. In my head.
Why?
I don't.
I was seeing more of like a light brown, but.
Oh man, I still.
Rough day.
I'm gonna make this happen when I have a country. It's gonna be like in the rules. Okay, listen, all this, we're totally freedom first, except for if you're twins.
You gotta buy more land.
Then we might need to figure some stuff out.
Well, we're here talking about how to infiltrate is not the right word, but infiltrate twins.
Impregnate
into one
twins?
Girl from two different people. Instead, we're gonna talk about man-womans.
Ooh.
Man woman's or woman man's?
The man woman.
Yeah. Man woman. Both.
Woman's.
It is both. Both is correct.
It's whatever you like.
So, the man woman of many names, born Eugenia Fellini, also eventually going by Eugene, Harry Leo Crawford, and Gene Ford.
That's Harry. That's a,
sound like jump a Harry there. Situation.
You know, like Eugene, this, you're like, yeah, okay, that makes sense. There's Harry Leo Crawford. You're like, whoa, okay.
This pasta kangaroo, I mean, Italian-Australian, transgender man had a way of keeping his born gender a secret. The way of doing this was murder.
Murder. Murder. That's a good way to keep a secret. Yeah, if you can keep the murder a secret.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
you just kill some who knows.
Are pretty good at it.
No witnesses.
No witnesses.
You have to kill those too.
Yeah. You can't let them stick around. That's for sure.
They're not allowed.
I played those video games. It always makes you get in trouble.
Exactly.
Born in 1985 in Italy, Fellini was the oldest of 22 children.
Holy shit.
For fuck's sake.
17 of those children survived childhood.
Oh, wow. Only,
that's a lot,
only five died. Only five.
Yeah, only five
you
died.
You know, her mom's vagina is wrecked.
And this is in 1985? Like, not 18 or 1785? Yes, yeah. Like,
it wasn't even necessary at this point to have that many kids.
That's like 20% of your kids died.
What, you already had 15. Why did you keep trying?
Right.
Oh, at age two, he migrated with his parents to New Zealand. The father had many occupations, including being a carrier with a horse and cart and a fisherman. Females were not allowed to do men's work back then. So Fellini's father allowed her, at the time, to dress in boys' clothes to utilize his daughter for work in brickyard and stables during her teenage years.
Don't you know that only penises know how to deal with bricks and horses?
As a child, Fellini was a tomboy, so she didn't mind this. She was like, fuck yeah.
Hell yeah.
Going to work with dad. In fact, she embraced it. She loved dressing in boys' clothes and roughhousing with other boys. She had zero interest in wearing dresses or playing with dolls, and even less interest in taking on the eldest girl child role, which consists of being an additional mother to care for the mass amounts of children her parents were having.
Oh, wow.
That's not her problem.
I am saying, if you guys would just stop
back in the day,
having
though.
Them, I wouldn't have to take care of them.
It's like, they're not coming out my vagina.
No joke. This role was expected of her, and she refused, which may be the reason her father allowed her to dress as a boy to make money for the family. Like, all right, well, all right, if you're not going to do your duty as oldest daughter, and
then
you're going to
do oldest son.
You're going to do something.
You're going to do oldest son.
Well, make throughout money. Her early teenage years, Fellini was known to be a beautiful girl, but a very uncontrollable one. Her father was a stern disciplinarian, but she didn't give a fuck. Fellini was not interested in leading a traditional female life, causing her to clash even more with her Italian father. Once Fellini reached her adolescent years, she kept her hair short the way she wanted it to be. I like my hair short, too. It's easy to take care of, less time to mess
hey
with
man,
it.
Hey, man, I need to cut mine. Stuff.
From here, Fellini was known to be as he, because by this time, he was very aware that male is what he thought he was meant to be. Yet he was still known as a beautiful young woman by his peers and family. He did not have a desire to date, making would-be suitors put in extra effort to gain her favors.
Oh, well, she doesn't want to date anybody, so let's try harder.
I mean, she's very beautiful, right? Or he's very beautiful. Yeah, Fellini's father grew angry that his daughter refused romantic offers from these fine young men. Fellini's being the head patriarch, son, you know, elder son role at this point.
Yeah,
he doesn't need another.
I'll get around to suiting bitches when I get around to it, Dad. That's right now. I'm trying to make some bricks.
He's like, I'll fuck bitches and get money later. But
I'm getting money right now. I'll fuck bitches later.
Right, I'm trying to fuck bitches, not dudes, Dad.
You taught me to do this.
Actually, he didn't even want to fuck bitches. He just wanted to make.
Yeah,
bricks.
He didn't even. Didn't
he just wanted to make
bitches
money
or dudes. Yeah.
He just wanted money.
And Fellini's mother was no different, supporting her husband's hostility.
Because that's what the woman's supposed to do.
Yeah. Back her man up.
Honestly, back this guy sounds like the kind of
baseball
thing, like,
bat if I want to.
I was going to say, that's not the kind of guy that if you didn't back him up, he'd back you up.
He's gonna, yeah. He's going to put your ass in a corner. So what can parents do to fix the situation besides arrange a marriage?
Of course. When your daughter's son doesn't want to have sex with dudes, you got to arrange a marriage to fix them.
Yeah, that'll fix it. Marriage solves everything.
Well, it's that or go get them exercised.
Marriage or getting pregnant.
Or whatever solves the Catholics everything. Do.
So on September 14th of 1894.
Hey, wait, 18?
Holy shit, we are 18. I was gonna say
1894. Oh, all right. Somebody's dyslexic.
Yeah, this makes more sense now. No. It said 1984 up top.
Yeah, it says 1985.
Oh, yeah. We are in the 18s. My bad.
Okay, like, so that makes more sense. Right? Like, yeah, 22% of your kids died. That's okay. That makes more sense now. All right.
Fellini was 19 years old. He was forced into a marriage to Brazili Innocente.
Innocente?
Innocente? Yeah. It's innocent with an E at the end.
I don't think he was very innocent.
It doesn't sound like dun, this. Dun, dun. Nobody who's innocent should be forcing people forced, into marriage.
Yeah. Fellini was horrified having a complete stranger and male forced on her by her father.
Yeah, it's dramatic.
Luckily, yeah, that I'd be like, whoa, 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 hold up. Hold your horses.
No, I'm holding the horses. I work the stables, remember?
I'll hold my own horses.
Right, you better watch out before I let these horses go, Dad.
I will release the beast. So luckily for him, this new husband was not only already married, but also had a family of his own in Auckland. The husband tried taking Fellini to the Auckland, but he was able to escape back home. But not back to his parents. He didn't contact his family at all.
Yeah. Well, fuck no.
Yeah, not a safe place to be.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
I got to run away from two families now. Shit.
Then took off disguise as a cabin boy, calling himself Eugene Fellini instead of Eugenia. His family didn't make an effort to find him. He began to work on a ship as a cabin boy, sailing in the seas, doing the kind of hard work that he enjoyed. But not long could this last before someone finds out that Fellini did not have a penis?
What?
There's only long you can be stuck on a ship with strictly men before somebody figures out you don't have a penis.
I guess you better learn how to pee standing up at least.
You better.
Well, what about her period and stuff? Like,
I mean, stick a rag in it. That's why they call it ragging, because back in the day, that's what they used
that's tampons. What they had to do.
We used to say it on a bunch of rags.
Yeah, just shove a rag in it.
There's like references.
I didn't even think about the period part.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
yeah, on a ship.
I mean, you would have to figure out how the hot. Yeah, you're on a ship.
I mean, and like on a ship that's not catered. Like they don't give a fuck about a woman's period there. They don't have any like, kind of nothing. There's no.
Women were not allowed on the ship.
Right, exactly.
They're like forbidden.
They're like, oh, you have blood on your pants. Oh, that's. I had a nosebleed.
My dick's bleeding again. That's weird.
Oh, God. Well, you know, I got that weird bleeding dick disease from that prostitute over there, Berlin. Remember?
I knew it. I was just scratching it too much.
Too much winking it. I chafed it raw.
A little raw, yeah.
So Monday how long night would raw. It be? It would last a few years at sea. During a drunken conversation with, of all people, the ship's captain.
Oh, Martino. Smart. Let's get drunk and talk with the boss.
During this casual drunk conversation, Fellini talked about how his grandmother referred to him as a piccolina, which means the female form of little one, not the male form, because I think piccolino is male, piccolina is female.
Oh.
So fucked up saying little one as in like little girl instead of little boy.
Oh, shit.
After this, the crew shunned Fellini, which was to be expected. What was not to be expected for Fellini himself was that the captain would repeatedly rape him after finding out.
Oh, fuck.
Having a woman aboard the ship was traditionally viewed as bad luck, so as soon as possible, Fellini was kicked ashore in 1898 with nothing but the clothes on his back and the baby growing in his stomach.
Oh.
Now, at P. Sherman 42 Wallaby Way, Sydney.
Nemo.
They were only in Sydney. I don't know if you guys caught the Finding Nemo.
Yeah.
Okay. I read that earlier, and I was like, what? No way.
She's like, what? It was really there?
That's a real thing?
Fellini gave birth to his daughter. He named her Josephine Crawford Fellini before leaving the child in the hands of an Italian-born woman by the name of Martello or Miss D'Angelis.
Angeles?
Angeles.
I don't know.
D'Angelis.
I don't speak Italian.
Me either.
Feeling the need of another new identity, Fellini started calling himself Harry Leo Crawford. Claiming to be of Scots descent, when asked, Fellini visited his daughter, but not often. Josephine referred to DeAngelis as Granny and was told by her that her father was a sea captain.
No, your father's an asshole.
Your father's Devin,
who gives a fuck about the sea captain? Your father was an asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah. Left you here and he's gone. Oh, yeah. You remember that guy, Harry, comes around every once in a while?
That's your father.
Yeah, that's your dad. Fuck that guy. No.
Well, technically, it's two dads because Fellini is the dad, but really the mother.
And then the captain fucked him.
So the actual father was the sea captain of the ship. And then Fellini was the mother, but probably referred to his father because of gender reasons.
Gotcha. Yeah, that makes more sense. Much more sense, honestly. Although, as Josephine grew older, she was aware that her father was actually her mother and that she preferred to dress in men's clothing. Fellini found work in simple, unskilled jobs, such as working in pubs and a rubber factory. Like rubber tires or rubber condoms?
Yeah, I was like, she could have used a rubber.
Like a rubber factory? Like a condom factory?
You like condoms?
Then he happened to across a job with Dr. G.R.C. Clark in Northern Sydney. There, Fellini was a general worker and a sulky driver. Oh, I thought it was sulky. Like,
I know what a sulky is. Do
I have
you guys
no
know
fucking
what a sulky
idea what it is.
Is. No. Okay, so you obviously thought it just meant like a...
I'm sulky about having a drive.
Is it like, you know, somebody that makes silk and he drives it around?
Silk driver?
Yeah.
Okay, a sulky is a lightweight car with only two wheels.
Oh, fuck.
He drove a bike.
Wait, but it's an enclosed bike. Because it's a car?
No, I don't know what it looks like. I didn't Google it.
But it's only got two wheels.
I know.
But it's a car.
It never said car. It just said he was a sulky driver.
So what is a sulky driver?
Now, a lightweight car with only two wheels.
I did say car, huh?
Why did you not Google a picture of this?
All right, I need Chris to sketch us out a sulky.
Yeah.
Right now.
I'm just going to pretend like it meant that he didn't like to drive. And so every time his boss was like, drive, he was like, I don't want to do it.
So he sulked about his driving.
You drive.
Yeah. I don't like to drive. I want to be the passenger. And I want to be in control of the radio.
Man, season 3 is going to be lit. That's all I'm saying. We don't know what any of these Australian words mean.
Nope.
I'm going to intentionally not research any of them.
I agree.
Just on purpose. And just try to guess what they are.
But while we have Chris literally calling us dumb cunts in the background.
Wankers.
I'm sure he loves it.
We're
just fulfilling every American idiot stereotype for him while he listens. Like, yep, yep.
We're just Green Day song me.
We're just the American idiots.
You guys can't see it, but I'm dancing. It was at this job that Fellini met Dr. Clark's ravishing housekeeper, Annie Burkett.
Ooh la la.
Annie was a widow of several years and left to raise and support her son, Harry, now 13, all by herself.
Yeah, I think that she had been widowed like seven years or so, like, and just never got with anybody else. She's like, fuck this. I'm going to be a single mom.
She's like, I ain't doing that shit again. She's an independent woman. She don't need nobody.
Well, maybe back in the 1890s, too. Was there like that weird widow?
Where they don't normally remarry.
In Italy, you know, where like nobody wants to touch somebody else's widow.
It's almost like a disrespect, but almost like a bad luck. Like, her husband died. Don't go around her.
Yeah. You trying to die, too? You know what happened to the last one, right?
You're next, bitch.
Yeah. I mean, back then, women were poisoning like 18 husbands.
Oh, fuck.
And right, I do remember there was some, I don't know.
Well, and they were shunned sometimes for getting remarried.
Yes.
So, Eddie found Fellini, known to her as Crawford, to be a handsome man. She noticed that he gave her much attention and ignored advances by the other housekeepers. Fellini would take Annie and her son, Harry, on sulky rides to see the circus. So it has to be more than
one. I
guess
we're going to see the fucking circus.
What a date, though. A sulky ride to see the circus. Like, what?
So romantic.
Hopefully the circus doesn't suck because this ride is lame.
But Annie was leaving for Baltimore to set up for a confectionery shop using her late husband's money to do so. Oh, damn. Fulani took interest in Annie's business, but more so in her wealth. So he followed her on her journey. He's like, yeah, I don't give a fuck.
It's one
about
of those,
you.
Like, yeah, I don't care that she's widowed. She's got, he's all like,
you
money.
Got money. You got money. Have you guys seen that? There's a video. I'll have to find it and send it to the group. This girl, she's at the movie theaters, and this guy's like, I want a large popcorn, a large drink. And her eyes get like super big, and she's like, a large? You got money.
I mean, really? At the yeah.
She's like, a large?
Then I'm like, I'm going to pop my popcorn at home and bring it in a purse.
Popcorn's like the only thing that I buy at the movie theater.
Because
like,
I can afford it. Everything else right. I bring.
I mean, and seriously.
Now they got the button with the butter.
The $1 fucking
yeah, you
candies
go to
at like Walmart, 88 cents or whatever, are like yeah. fucking four or five pocket. Bucks there. Like, it's ridiculous, yeah. you know?
And, yeah. And I was like, it can fit in your pocket.
Yeah, you always go get the snacks first, and even soda. I'll put sodas in my purse, and then I'll buy popcorn.
Yeah.
The popcorn costs as much as the movie ticket.
Oh, yeah, I buy the soda, and I'm not a fan. I worked as a projectionist.
Popcorn that you can refill.
At a movie theater, and I hate popcorn. I hate it.
I don't like digging it out 2 weeks later.
It's just like, it doesn't taste like anything. It's just,
I like to, you know what puff, I like to do?
Hot puff.
I like to take a pickle and I'll either hollow it out and I'll put popcorn
that's
in it.
Disgusting.
Or I'll take a bite of a pickle, then shove popcorn in my mouth.
Why would you talk about pickles?
Have you tried
that's
it?
A weird way to
yeah,
say I've
pickles
been pregnant
are disgusting.
My whole life.
Pickles are great. I like the juice too.
Vinegar is disgusting.
The juice helps with cramps.
Is that why your pussy stinks?
Actually,
my pussy?
Great.
Yeah. You don't do vinegar.
I don't do vinegar.
All right.
It cleans that shit out.
So back to the circus.
Wish my dad would have told me about that. I would have been cleaning my pussy better.
On the 19th of February in 1913, Fulani and Annie got married at the Methodist Parsonage. Shortly after they moved to Des Moines. Fulani worked in hotels, factories, and more unskilled jobs. Most of these jobs involved heavily masculine work. And at this point, let me show you how manly I am. At this point, Annie still has no idea of her husband's female anatomy.
What?
How?
Wait.
How
wait,
do you not
wait.
Know?
Why do you get... Wait.
wait.
Yeah. Yeah.
How
I mean,
do you
was,
not
was
know?
The wife just like... Asexual.
They did the dirty.
How did
so,
she
but
not
how
know?
How do you not know that you don't have? Oh, you got a fake one.
The fingers.
There's.
She used cucumbers.
No,
we're just gonna
no.
Have
there,
to
I mean,
to
we've
find
had
out.
We've had dildos for a while.
Back that
not,
long.
Not like you know silicone ones or whatever, but yeah. They've had tools for penetration for yeah. quite a while. For quite a while.
I mean, back in Skinwalker time, they used cactuses.
Ooh.
Oh lordy. Yeah. What the hell?
Yeah, I mean,
and
you
horns
spend,
of animals.
I guess you spend some time just, you know, pulling needles out, and then you can do whatever the fuck you want with it, right?
Yeah, and then they would use horns of animals. Ugh. Anyways.
What the
boner.
We'll find out about his dick later.
Wait and find out.
Oh, we find out about his dick?
Yes.
It was her regular gossiping neighbor. When confronted, Fulani denied this accusation of fear that she would tell the police and have him arrested. Annie didn't understand how a person could be intimate with a man and not discover that he's not a he, but a she.
Yeah.
Even the wife was like, I don't know if I can believe this because I've been having sex with this guy.
Yeah. Like, like he's been putting something in me. Like
4 years into the marriage. And she's like, no, there's no way my husband's a girl because I've had sex with him.
It was after his denial and refusing to show his wife his private area that Annie wanted to end the marriage against Fulani's wishes. I mean, what guy wasn't like, hey, suck my dick? Like, and she wasn't like, here, put it, put
she
this
was
in
like,
your mouth.
This whole time, I thought I hit the jackpot. He never once asked me to suck his dick.
He said he didn't like his dick being sucked, and I was okay with it.
I didn't even think
still ate my pussy, though.
She got the best of
I hope so. I hope so.
Yeah. For fuck's sake, man.
One afternoon, Annie suggested they have a picnic near Lane Cove River. Later, Fulani told police of what happened that day, telling police that they got into an argument when Annie told him she was serious about the divorce. During the argument, Annie slipped and fell backwards, and she hit her head on a rock. Fellini claimed to try to save her, but she bled out in minutes. You know, they don't have cell phones back then, so.
Yeah, they don't hit women.
You do the woohoo, woohoo call or whatever for help.
Woody-hoo, woody-hoo.
Because of this, he panicked that he would be investigated and exposed as transgender. While knowing there were not any witnesses, he tried to burn her body beyond recognition, and she couldn't be identified.
Oh, fuck. Wow. So, yeah, she hit her head, and I couldn't help her, and now she's burnt.
I didn't know
how that happened. I went to go get help, and I came back, and she was burnt to, burnt to death.
Well, she fell, hit her head, died, couldn't do anything, so I panicked, left, got gas, came back, lit her body on fire.
I think she always wanted to be cremated. I was just trying to give her what she wanted.
The panic wasn't because she was dead. The panic was because he was afraid that he would be exposed as a female.
Yeah, and he didn't want nobody to know. He's worked so hard to be a man.
So that's what he told police. Fellini told Annie's son, Harry, a different story, that she had run off with another man.
Oh, Lordy.
Eventually, Annie's body would be discovered in scrubland off Mowbray Road, Chatswood.
Yeah, it's like, where's the body at if she just hit her head?
Well, he just told everybody, he didn't tell police until a long way down the line. And what he said immediately, basically, was like, she ran off with another man. That's what he told the son and just the family, went with it.
Because his family would have been like, well, where's the body? So that way we can take care of it.
So the body's discovered, and even with her dental records, which included a dental plate she wore, her body was still not identified. The medical examiner's report state no definite marks of violence, and that she probably died, or that she died probably due to burns. The body's still not identified yet. Newspapers reported that the police believed it had to be a case of suicide.
What the hell?
Yeah.
That is the worst way to kill yourself.
I gave myself a concussion and then lit myself on fire. If I'm ever around you, Tabitha, and you bump your head, I'm making sure there's no matches around because apparently
that's the first thing. That's the first thing I think.
I need to light myself on fire.
And I've been through it 10 times, so I know.
So the reason the police believed this was based on witnesses claiming to see a woman whose manner had been regarded as strange in the vicinity around the time of the death. So they're like, somebody sees the newspaper, they're like, oh, we were in that area that day.
Yeah.
You remember that lady that was walking around weird on fire? That was weird behavior. She probably thought she was herself.
Yeah, just roasting marshmallows.
Also located nearby was a bottle of kerosene. The only thing strange is that police think a woman would commit suicide by pouring kerosene on herself and then lighting herself on fire.
Huh.
Yeah, that is strange. You
know, it's only a little strange.
Yeah.
people do that every day. Come on now.
The remains of the unknown were buried in a coffin marked the body of an unknown woman.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's kind of harsh.
Well, with one down, Fellini inevitably had to move on.
Literally.
And in 1919, he met Elizabeth King Allison, or just Lizzie.
She was
over 50 years older than him.
Oh, now he's definitely looking for money.
I won't have to kill this one off. She'll do it herself.
Yeah, she'll die. She'll die eventually. Just wait for it.
Well, they got married in September of that year. Fellini used the same name, Harry Leo Crawford, and then added born in Scotland and working as a mechanical engineer for this new livestock.
He had to change it up a little.
A little bit. Just modify it.
Yeah.
Slightly. Yeah. And as for Annie's son, Harry, he moved to Woolloomooloo after his mother disappeared and never came back. In 1920, Harry visited with his aunt. On this visit, he talked about some strange things from his past.
Ooh.
Starting with him coming home from a holiday to find his mother had gone missing.
Okay, so we all know that it wasn't that he just talked about. No, his aunt was like, what about your mom going missing? Like, what do you know?
He totally
drilled him, and he's like, well, there was some strange things that happened.
Yeah, exactly.
He wanted to know all the gossip. She's like, I know you know something, and you've been gone. Like,
yeah, you have to let me know. What happened to my sister?
Yeah.
Like, I know
she's not a whore. She did not run off with a whore.
Well, after Harry came home and his mom's missing, Fellini took him to The Gap, a department store. It's a place where suicides took place. Very, very common.
She might be a widow, but she's not.
People just go to kill themselves.
Yeah. at the Gap.
That's the spot.
Have you been to the Gap?
I thought we were talking about the
very
poster.
It's very depressing.
It's very sulky.
Guess I'll go to the Gap.
Gosh.
I'm going to sulky drive to the sulky Gap.
I'll buy some sulky pants.
Well, they stood near the cliff and threw rocks over the edge. Fellini pressured Harry to get closer to the edge several times, but Harry never did because he's smart.
Because Harry's smarter than his mother.
Yeah. Well, a week later, after dark, Fellini took Harry to Scrubland. Scrubland? Is it Scrubland or is it to Scrubland? Like, is it a verb or?
It's a place. It's like a land of scrubs.
Okay, Scrubland. Yeah.
I was like, that sounds like it's supposed to be like a carnival or something.
And he asked Harry to dig a large hole for him.
Oh.
Harry did as requested, and so Fellini got emotional and threw the shovel into the bushes before driving them back to the city. He just freaked out. He's like, never mind.
He's telling his aunt this story, he's probably like, can I just stay here now that I realize?
Yeah, now that I think about it. Yeah.
He couldn't go through with it.
And after Harry told these things to his aunt, he realized none of this was normal. Yeah, that's not.
Oh, no shit, yeah. Sherlock.
He also became more suspicious after remembering that Fellini, who was illiterate, asked Harry to read him an article from the paper. The article was about shoes of an unknown burn victim.
Ooh.
Hmm.
Juicy.
Juicy? So juicy shoes?
Yeah.
Ew.
I think it was more crispy.
Oh.
Yeah, they were super crisp. So after this, Harry went to the police. He was able to identify this unknown burn victim as his mother. Oh. By the personal effect, this included the victim's shoes, which Fellini had personally repaired. Harry also told police that his mother only married Fellini because he was so persistent, along with that they were always fighting and was never happy.
I mean, he was persistent. He moved all the way to a different town just to follow her because she moved to open up her shop.
He was like, oh, you're going? Can I go with you?
That is kind of stalkery.
Hey, can I go? Can I go too?
I'm going to need a place to crash. So
we're moving a town away, right? To further back this, neighbors also told police they heard the two argue and that it got worse once Fellini's daughter, Josephine, moved in with them. Eugenia Fellini was arrested on July 5th, 1920, while working at a hotel. He asked police to place him in a woman's cell and not to disclose to his wife, Lizzie, that he was a transgender.
Don't tell her.
Woman's cell, but don't tell her.
Last time,
don't tell my wife.
Last time my wife found out that, I had to kill her.
Yeah. I would have been like, no, like, you've acted like a man your whole fucking life. You can take it like a man and be with the men. So Maddox Cohen, who was Fellini's lawyer, did not apply for bail.
Didn't even, like, no, I'm not even in trouble.
No, like, Annie Burkett's remains were exhumed. After a second autopsy, which included x-rays, no further information was obtained, and her body was released to the family.
Yeah, we're going to do a second autopsy and x-rays. Oh, we found nothing else out.
Yeah, no.
We still don't know.
Oh, but here's your body.
You can have
shoes,
it.
So it must be her.
Her shoes? So Fellini's daughter was located by the police and interviewed, which may become interesting considering she knows her father is her mother. Mm-hmm. Shit's getting real
weird.
Yeah.
The hearings began in August of 1920 as witnesses began to take the stand. The dentist who made Annie's false teeth testified that the teeth found on her charred body were the same. Annie's sister testified that a gemstone found on the body did in fact belong to Annie. When Annie's son Harry got to the stand, he talked about how unhappy the couple was, along with the stories that he had told his aunt about the events shortly after his mother disappeared. The medical examiner explained that he believed Annie was alive when burned to death, but was unable to say if she was conscious or not. Well, after she got bopped on the head by the rock,
she lit herself on fire and laid back down.
A woman by the name of Henrietta stated that Fellini rented a room from her, and during small talk, Fellini told her that his wife had left, further telling her, "We had a jolly good row, and I gave her a crack on the head, and then she cleared." Oh. What in the heavens gate? That was... She cleared.
Clear.
Heaven's gate hadn't even happened yet.
Why would you even tell somebody that you cracked her on the head?
Because back then it was right. more normal for a man to hit their wife.
Oh, yeah. Right before the divorce, we got in a fight, and I just
smacked her. Stopped I just her had good. To get
right I, to the moon.
Don't you dare talk to me like that.
And then she left.
And then she cleared. Yeah. Did she leave or did she die? Did she leave the earth?
Cleared atmosphere.
It went clear up in the sky.
Uppercutted her.
Other witnesses testified to Fellini's inability to read and write, and he would ask others to look for mentions of murder in the newspaper after Annie had disappeared. I can't. Anything in there about murder this week? If so, can you read it to me?
Yeah, because I can't read, but I want to know.
I really like it when you talk about murders.
I'm really curious if there's
any about murders.
And left evidence and burned bodies.
I want to know. I want to know what the cops know.
No, but he really was asking people, like, anything about murder, any fires that took place. Like, he was asking, like, neighbors and stuff, like, hey, is there anything in the newspaper about that you can read to me? Like, okay.
Not suspicious at all.
Yeah, no. And she disappeared.
Well, the most prominent witness was Fellini's daughter, Josephine. The prosecutor had permission to treat her as a hostile witness, which means you can beat her up in the parking lot.
trial. Get the answers.
You bitch.
Josephine's earlier sworn statement to police was submitted as evidence. This read, I first remember my mother when about 7 years of age. She always wore men's clothing and was known as Harry Crawford. I was brought up at Double Bay by Mrs. DeAngelis, who I used to call Granny. Granny told me that Harry Crawford was my mother and that my father was the captain of a boat. My mother was very cruel to me when I was a child and often forgot me. Granny told me that mother tried to smother me when I was a baby.
Oh, shit.
Mrs. DeAngelis died when I was about 12 years of age, and my mother took me to a little confectionery shop in Balmain, kept by a Mrs. Burkett, who had a son named Harry. My mother told me Mrs. Burkett had some money and always thought my mother was a man. I said to my mother, she'll find you out one of these days. And my mother replied, oh, I'll watch it. I would rather do away with myself than let the police find anything about me.
Oh, shit.
Wow. My mother always told me to call her father and not to let Merce Burkett or anyone else know that she was a woman. I did not know that my mother was married to Mrs. Burkett, but they occupied the same bedroom. They quarreled a great deal, and mother used to come out and say, more rows over you. I cannot get any sleep. I replied to my mother, and she said, oh, a lovely daughter I've got. I said, what can you expect? A lovely mother I've got. Bitch.
Throwing a bitch and I think you got it.
In 1917, I met my mother, who told me everything was unsettled and upside down as Mrs. Burkett had discovered she was a woman. Well, I told you, bitch. My mother seemed very agitated and was always reticent about herself. That's a pretty damning statement.
Yeah. That's a pretty fucking... Definitely the best witness they got.
I'm saying that's the most prominent, for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So after the hearings, Fellini was committed for trial. Those damn Fellinis. He refused bail. The press dubbed Fellini as the man-woman case. When Fellini arrived for the murder trial in October of 1920, he appeared in a man's suit. The court ordered he leave and return in a woman's clothes. He did just that.
What else can you do when the judge is like, no.
Yeah.
You got to go put on women's clothes.
Yeah, like, you're not a man. You even asked to be in a woman's prison or whatever they call it. Like, you better
say at that point, when you ask to be put with the women.
Yeah, you're a woman again.
I mean, you set yourself up for disaster there.
Prosecution stated Fellini was so practical in deceit after being able to convince not one, but two women for many years that she was a male. With a large crowd watching, including the press, Fellini was remanded on the charge of murder. The press ate this up and quickly published their description of Fellini that day. The accused woman is strangely interesting. She bore an extraordinary resemblance to a man. For facially, she is masculine. She wore man's clothes. While in the dock, she appeared distinctly nervous. She wears a gold band ring on the little finger, and she fiddled with the dock rail. In her right hand, she carried a gray felt hat. Her hair is almost black and clipped short, It was neatly brushed and parted on the left side of her head. Her face is remarkably small, especially around the mouth. Her face...
Yeah. I don't know why they went into this much detail.
Especially like around the mouth. Yeah.
Like, no, it won't fit your dick. Okay, it's very small. It's very small.
Maybe that's why she acted like a man.
Like a man with no dicks in there.
No dicks anywhere. Her face is considerably wrinkled and suggests that she is older than her stated 43. Her clothing consisted of a well-worn dark gray cloth, sack suit, white tennis t-shirt, and a neatly tied green Broadway tie. Her well-polished boots were of patent leather.
Like, I don't, they got into super
yeah,
detail.
They went, but the press, like, shoes, they're like, up, we like, what was in her hand. Her. Yeah, what's in her hand, everything. Like,
they're like, we need to talk about her, but we don't know what to say, so we're just going to describe every little thing about what we can see.
They're
going to
describe how manly as a he is. I cannot go into enough detail about how much of a he this she is. Okay,
yeah,
let me, like, tell you.
She definitely looks like a he. Like, good Lord. Well incarcerated, Fellini was treated like shit. He was put on display to the public. They were able to observe him like a zoo animal, along with poking him with sticks and other objects they could fit through. Most saw him as a freak show. Like, basically, the jail was like, it was like an outside jail. Like, you could just walk down the street and just harass her.
Just look at them.
For no reason. Poking him with umbrellas and sticks. It was a sulky circus.
It was a sulky circus.
Too much sulk.
That's great. Oh.
Too much sulk.
Fellini pleaded not guilty to the murder. It took the jury 2 hours to reach a guilty verdict. He was convicted and condemned to death. The judge asked Fellini if he had anything to say. After consulting with his attorney, Fellini stated, I have been 3 months in Long Bay Gaol. I am near to a nervous breakdown. I am not guilty, Your Honor. I know nothing whatsoever this charge. It is only through false evidence that I have been convicted.
I like it was after consulting with a lawyer. Like, the judge was like, yeah. You got anything to say? He's like, hey, do I got anything to say?
did I do it? Did I not do it? Like, what are we doing here?
Shortly after the conviction, they put in for an appeal, of course. The Court of Criminal Appeal dismissed the case basically on the grounds that if the jury found him guilty, then it is a justified verdict.
Well, then why do you even allow appeals?
Exactly. Anytime, like, literally, they were like,
yeah,
if the jury thought he was guilty, then he's guilty.
Yeah.
There's like, no, what the fuck?
It was basically like, look, we're not doing the media circus anymore. Okay, fuck you. You're guilty. We're done with that. Like that. Yeah.
But his sentence was changed to life in prison.
Wow.
His gender identity and deception was popular in the press, but they portrayed Fellini as a monster and a pervert. A dildo found when searching Fellini and Lizzie's home was evidence that he was practical in deceit about his gender.
There you go.
There it is. There's the dick.
There it is.
Put it up against. There you go.
And oh, then, yeah?
You know, you just stuck it in your pants and give it a little.
Stuck something in her pants.
Oh, I mean.
Yeah, they displayed the dildo at the trial.
That's.
Oh, wow.
That's fun.
There's like. In the weapon.
Look, they lied about being a man. You want to know how I know? I have a penis.
I would have been embarrassed as the second wife seeing literally what's been inside of me. How many times laying there on the corner?
And it's not the first person it was in there?
Ooh, it's definitely the same dildo.
It was sloppy seconds.
Well, I mean, I guess your dick stays the same for each.
Yeah, but hopefully she cleaned it.
Yeah, I mean, but you take showers. Did you shower with
you? You don't know if she cleaned it or not.
Friends of Fellini and some prison reform workers put in several petitions for his release.
What?
Yeah, I don't know why. In February of 1931, after an hour-long visit, Minister for Justice Joe Lamaro granted Fellini his freedom.
What?
Due to him being 60 and not in great health. But that would come at the cost that he would have to finish life out as a woman.
You're like, I'll let you go, but you got to be a girl.
Yeah. You can no longer be Harry Leo.
Yeah. Whatever. You are what you are.
Yep. Once released, the press again asked questions about the case. For one, there was never 100% certainty the body was Annie and the lack of evidence that Fellini had taken her life.
Yeah. The only things that identified her were the shoes, the gemstone, and
the teeth. Fake teeth. Yeah.
But the fake teeth. Yeah. It wasn't any permanent, no permanent part of her body.
Right. Which, so you could say it was circumstantial, right? So how do you know it wasn't a separate body
with the same fake teeth
and ring and shoes
and the same shoes?
Yeah, yeah. Well, Fellini again used another identity, but this time he had to choose a woman, Mrs. Jean Ford. She became a proprietress of a boarding house in Paddington, Sydney. 4 years after Fellini's release, Inspector Stuart Robson, the original officer to arrest Fellini, made a statement. Within the statement, he talked about what he knew of Fellini and her past, along with the arrest and charges, ending it with Fellini was subsequently released and has completely disappeared since.
Probably ain't got tabs on him anymore.
Yeah. Well, on June 9th of 1938, being free for only 7 years, Fellini stepped off a sidewalk in front of a motor car. He died of his injuries and the following day at Sydney Hospital. Whoop. He was only identified.
Would have been a sulky car.
He might have made it.
The motor car.
It fucked his life up.
But the four wheels.
It's because he changed his last name to Ford.
It's too many wheels.
It's probably a Ford that hit him.
Oh.
He was only identified by fingerprint records and the money in his pocket from the boarding house business. This came back as an accidental death. The funeral notice was announced under the name of Jean Ford. He was buried in Rockwood Cemetery, the same cemetery his late wife, he supposedly murdered, is buried.
Oh,
do you have to say supposedly?
Oop. Supposedly.
I mean, do you have to say it?
I mean, when I definitely.
But his late wife is, well,
he was convicted, but there was never any proof that that was even her body.
I know, but legally, it's not supposedly anymore.
It is.
Legally, it happened.
Yeah.
Remember, they tried to appeal it, and the judge was like, no.
No, it
legally happened.
Murder.
So what could it be that had Fellini wanting to hide his gender identity so bad that he might kill to keep it a secret? Was it shame or fear that he would be treated differently? Or maybe it was the fact that his own father had him dress as a boy for personal financial gain, and when Fellini wanted to continue this, his family was pissed about it. Although... they were the very ones to encourage it in the first place.
You started.
His father went as far as convincing him that impersonating a man was grounds for arrest. This law did not exist. Fellini lived in fear his whole life that he would be arrested for living as his true self, never knowing that it wasn't against the law.
And then what happened?
That's
like
why
the
he
first
was
time that
no wonder he murdered his wife.
Like on his own, he's on that ship and he gets found out. Then he's fucking raped the entire time he's on the ship. Like, it's this doesn't sound like a, you know, doesn't matter if it's my family or
like, I can't
my
go
boss.
Tell nobody.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, no one should know or else really, really awful fucking shit happens.
Yeah, he's I can't tell nobody that I got raped because it's against the law for me to be doing what I'm doing.
Well, I didn't put it in at the beginning, but his father drilled it in his head that it was illegal. You will go to jail. You will be shunned, which realistically he
that makes sense why he killed his wife and
shunned. Right, exactly.
That makes a whole lot of sense now.
Because now she's going to go through a divorce and all that shit, right? So what's the reason for divorce? Oh, my husband is actually a woman, and then now he's getting arrested. You know, like there's no way to get divorced
and that's
going to
go
have my crime. Yeah,
that's 100%
was never illegal to act like a man.
But he wasn't going to ask anybody that. Like he believed.
No, I mean,
I mean, I guess maybe he could have. Hey, is there anything in the newspaper there about pretending to be a man?
Is it illegal?
You got any stories about burned illegal? Shoes or cross dressing?
Good Lord.
That's the questions he should have been asking.
That's probably found out the same day he stepped in front of the car. Like
he was like, wait, that's
you know it wasn't illegal, right?
Right. You know, if it was illegal.
So
they
like,
would have
you
arrested
mean?
You during the trial when they were talking about you pretending to be a man, right?
They wouldn't have even cared about the murder anymore.
They
like
would have added that charge to
right,
your charges.
Oh, poor guy.
Maybe he had some mental issues.
Poor, crazy, murdering, cross-dressing dude.
Poor little Tink Tink. That was Kevin Hart, or Cat Williams.
I don't think I know that one.
He's a stand-up comedian.
No, I know Cat Williams. I just don't know the bit that you did.
He talks about a guy that loses his legs and runs in the Olympics and he wins and they say that he has an advantage.
Yeah.
And I can't even walk around the block without being out of breath. Motherfucker's winning the Olympics with no legs.
I ran track in high school, and there was... Because
they said his legs can't get tired, so he had an advantage.
I don't know about that. There was a girl at a different high school who had no legs from the knee down.
Mm-hmm.
And she had some kind of crazy, springy...
Yeah, that's what they get. They get springy, like, running legs.
And she ran against the boys and won.
Well, that's what he wasn't in the, like, Special Olympics. He went to the actual Olympics and won.
Yes, that's and they were
the rest
right.
of his body has to put in so much work to use those
they
legs.
They got pissed.
They bent and they pushed like it was a spring thing, and it's a totally different motion of running.
Yeah.
And they didn't count her time against the boys because she's a girl, but she wanted to race against the boys because they're faster. So she's faster. I want to race against the people I competed, like my heat.
I want it to be a challenge.
Right. It's the whole reason they do that. I mean, like that's you run faster when somebody's right behind you than you do if you're, you know, if I want to get my best times, I need to race against competitive
somebody
people.
Somebody that, yeah.
Not people that I'm just blowing them away because I won't run that hard. Like that.
It pushes you more to run with people faster.
And I remember there was like quite a big row because basically every single guy did not want to race against her. And they all had to be told, the time doesn't matter. The time, it's not against, she just happens to be racing at the same time.
To win.
No, she's competitive and they're whiny. Like that's why
they're sulky.
Yeah, sulky drivers.
That reminds me of guys that don't want to wrestle females just because they're females.
I don't know. That's different. I feel different about that. That's like a lose-lose situation. Either I beat up a girl or I got beat up by a girl. Like that's it's not in a race. It's different. I don't know what it. I mean,
I don't think it's different.
Maybe it's because I never wrestled, so I have no idea what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I really can't even say shit because I didn't wrestle.
Yeah.
I mean,
I know exactly what I'm talking about with running track. I have no idea what I'm talking about with wrestling. Well,
I've been faster than guys in track as well, and I've also beat guys in wrestling. So to me.
Yeah, I was all about, like, if she was a hurdler, because I ran hurdles. So if she was a hurdler, I was like, yes, please. If she's, you know, like, let's race, because I would have been competitive about it.
Yeah.
But.
I don't think it's safe to hurdle.
I don't know. I mean,
I used to actually.
I wouldn't
run
have said it was
too.
Safe to run with those things. Like that's
my clumsy.
She was awesome. She beat all the boys. Like her, like all of them. She was the fastest. And there was lots of grumbling about, oh, she got those springs on the bottom of her. Fuck you. You got your whole leg. Like that's
yeah. At least you have your fucking right. legs. Like damn.
Not looking like Lieutenant Dan.
So y'all got any more stuff to talk about on this dildo or what?
Man,
I want to know what it looks like and what it was.
What was it made out of back in 1894?
Probably wood.
Or metal.
Wood.
Why is it so cold?
Wood. I got splinters. Maybe did you wax up the dick? I got,
They don't call me Woody for no reason.
Oh, man. I got the weird dick splinters again. I mean, maybe like some antler you could carve.
So you got a friend in
ivory?
Made out of bone.
That'd be a really expensive dick back in the 1890s.
I mean, if it can fool two girls.
Two girls, one bone.
No, don't touch it. Don't touch it.
No, I'm just going to
put it right in you.
Yeah, you don't have to.
I mean,
to
I can't imagine there's a whole lot of.
I'm curious, did he keep it in his pants like all the time to even make it look like he had a penis? Where do you hide your dick?
He put it under in between the mattress, so that way when he's like down on her, he can just reach down and grab it.
How do you secretly pull that out? If you like
in between the mattresses, or you have it in the drawer and you're like, I mean the light. They probably didn't really have like the lights on all the time.
And the women usually clean, so like, where are you gonna hide that?
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say too. Like
in the shed, women aren't allowed to go do menly things. So
oh, that's right. You got all kinds of. Non-woman.
Yeah.
You're not allowed over here. I'm in charge of this.
Sorry, I've already got you undressed and horny. I got to run to the shed.
Like, I know you bought all this with your ex-husband's money because he died.
Or he had it in something.
You're not allowed in his old man room.
That's what, or he had it to where, like, somewhere he was like, hey, if you touch this, I'm a bitch slap you. Like, you're not allowed to touch this box. This is my secret box.
It's my gun.
It's locked and loaded.
Oh, it's not loaded.
It's the manliest parts of me.
Definitely not loaded.
<Come on. laughs> fuck's sake.
For fuck's sake.
All right, we good to go?
Yep.
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 Thank you all for listening to our show. We can't do this without you guys. If you get a chance, head on over to our Patreon page to help support us. You can find all of our links at pintsoftheroundtable.com.
Feel free to email us at pintsotrt@gmail.com. You can ask us questions, tell us how you really feel, send us hate mail. That's personally my favorite.
That's our favorite.
Mail. Yeah, we'd love to hear from you guys either which way.
Along with our pint show, we also have Taco Brews Day with moi, Daddy Sparks, and whoever else cares to join. Yeah. which is about people's fuck ups and we find on the internet. The show brings a sense of maybe my life, but not that bad.
It's not that bad. Right?
Yeah, like maybe my life's not that bad.
Right, like my shit sucks, but
there's some things we read and I'm like, did I do that? We also have Press Play with Matt Gibson here.
That's me.
Which brings you music topics with a twist. I was just giving my own twist there.
We also have a small pint segment, which brings you things like bisexual geese or animal bar fights. In addition to these things, you can also find our extended versions of pints on our Patreon page if you enjoy a little extra banter. We have 3 different tier levels, starting at $5 a month. We also have a Mugs and Mystery with Casey Combs.
Yeah.
You guys can check that out on most streaming services also.
All the streamings. Well, everyone, thanks for joining us. We're our Pints of the Round Table.
Hope you enjoyed listening.
Hope you didn't hate us.
I'm still double fisting.
Double fucking fisting.
Double, oh, not tonight, but.
All right, love you guys.
We got to get Matt a dildo so he can double fist.